Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details, or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, today, I have a poet and children's author who lives in southeastern South Dakota to share with you. She is Diana Howard. Diana began writing for children 10 years ago. Her love of nature and animals influences her storytelling as she gives both voice and character to her subject matter. And I look forward to finding out more. So welcome to the network, Diana.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm delighted to have you with me today. Now, you say something very interesting on your website, and I want to start with that because I think it sets the stage for who you are today. You wrote, "I live a life filled with words. My parents' somewhat annoying emphasis on the proper use of English language, stimulating household conversation, and a prolific love of reading taught me that words matter and that using words properly and effectively matters even more." So how did that shape you and your life?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. I am careful when I speak, when I write. I proof things almost compulsively sometimes. I think my favorite part of writing is revision, trying to say something important with as few words as possible. You know, I grew up in a different time when you had to use the proper pronoun all the time. It wasn't him, it was he instead of him, and she instead of her, and things have changed. And so that's been somewhat of an adjustment in my writing today. But words are important to me, and communication is important to me.
I found that interesting because I grew up in a similar household. And yes, when I send emails, I have to look at them several times to make sure that, as you say, that it is what you want it to say, that it's succinct and that you use the proper grammar. And sometimes I receive emails back and I'm thinking, okay, not everyone does this.
Yes, yes. Just a little editing here, yeah.
So I get you. I understand.
Yeah.
One more question is that your website is called thecottonwoodtree.com, and on your homepage, you also talk about cottonwood trees. Why cottonwoods?
Well, because I live on the Missouri River, and that's the only kind of tree that grows by the Missouri River is cottonwood. They're prolific. They're annoying. They're beautiful. They have silvery leaves that, when the wind blows, just makes a sound that you can't forget once mm-hmm. you hear it. Mm-hmm. They also make a tremendous mess in your yard, mm-hmm. but I love them. So, yeah.
I do, too. I have a huge one on my property, and it is the most majestic tree around. And when I saw that your website was called the Cottonwood Tree, I thought, I like you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we have a lot in common.
Yes, we do.
Wow. Well, now, you have written some children's books, Applesauce and Boo Boo LaRue. Why children's books?
Well, never planned on it. I've loved writing poetry since I was in high school. I've attended a lot of workshops over the years, trying to improve my skill with that. I think it started really when I had grandchildren, because I would babysit and spend time with them, and they're just such fodder for children's writing. They do all kinds of fun things that I think trigger words in me, you know, and trigger a story that I want to put down. And so I would just return home and I'd write out a little two-page, sometimes in rhyme, sometimes not. And I was just always writing about them or to them or metaphorically writing, you know, something mm-hmm. that represented what children would do, like Boo Boo LaRue. So, you know.
Grandkids could be very inspiring that way.
Exactly. I dedicated my second book to them, thanking them for their inspiration. I'm not sure they realize how much inspiration they actually have been. But
well, how important to them, especially as they get older, and one day they'll look back and they'll think, wow, my grandmother wrote this and dedicated it to me. It's a very important family gift, I think.
Yes, and you know, my eldest grandson is 10 years old, and he already has written a short story about himself and a friend, and I just thought that was the sweetest thing. He sent it to me and said, look, Nana, you know, and so it was really fun to see him carrying on that tradition just a little bit. And he's just in fourth grade. So, and no matter what he will do in the future, you know, it was just sweet to see him know that that's possible.
Yep. Absolutely. Quite a role model and an important figure in their life. I love this. And so tell us about the books. Which was the first one?
Okay. Applesauce was the first one. Mm-hmm. I, over the years, have made applesauce out of apples from an orchard that was probably 120 years old. It was on the farm of my sister-in-law in southeastern South Dakota. And my grandsons loved it. And so I started canning it and putting a label on it that said Nana's applesauce. And then I was out of town with my husband one weekend, and he had a meeting and I had a lot of free time. And I just spent the time working on a story that just sort of popped out of me. And that was the beginning, because I wrote the story, and then, of course, people said, you should put that in book form. And I'm going, well, I have no clue how to do that. And so I would need pictures and illustrations. And so I talked to my brother, who's a contractor, but also an artist in his free time. And he did the illustrations for it. It was a collaborative project, and it took us probably a year and a half. But it was really fun. And then I self-published it with Dog Ear Publishing.
How exciting. I love that. Also, it's a very organic story. And then to, again, include a family member, include your brother in on the project is, again, very important.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
And what is the story about? Just a little, not a spoiler, but just a little idea.
No, well, Jonathan is an apple that grows up on his parents' tree, and he learns, you know, early in the story that one day he's going to have to fall from the tree. And so he's got to decide, you know, what does the future hold for him? What does he want to do once he falls from the tree? And he has friends, Alexander, whose family has been in the orchard for generations. There's Mac, who lives two trees down and is always swinging his parents' branch too hard. And then Allington Pippin, the most beautiful green apple he's ever seen. These are his friends, and he doesn't know what choices they're going to make. And will he see them once he falls? And what's it going to be like to fall? Is he going to go thud and thunkity-thunk and bump his head and have a bruise on his bottom? Yeah, and he just learns all about what it means to grow up. And then eventually, of course, he grows up. The day comes in the fall when he has to fall from the tree.
Mm-hmm. So a lesson there for children as they're reading, too.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, and there's one page that's kind of fun because I talk about all the different choices he has for being, you know, an apple and falling from the tree. What could his future hold for him? And there's a whole list: apple pie, apple turnover, apple brown buddy, apple cider, apple chutney, apple butter, apple cake, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and he finally says, and last but definitely not least, applesauce.
Oh, well, there you go. Just like children have all those kind of choices as well. So there's a lot you can extrapolate from that. So then after applesauce, how soon after did Boo Boo LaRue occur?
Well, Boo Boo LaRue was again, coming home from babysitting and writing this little rhyming ditty about an audacious, little tiny audacious elephant shrew. And, of course, the boys wouldn't even know what an elephant shrew was. You know, I had seen it on a program, a nature program that Oprah Winfrey narrated called Life, and it lives in Africa and survives by scampering around and eating spiders. And so I used the little elephant shrew as a metaphor for my grandsons. And see, I put it away in a file. You know, my brother didn't think that he wanted to do any more illustrations at the time that I called him. And so I just put it away, and then my son called about a year later and said, Mom, did you ever do anything with Boo Boo LaRue? And I said, well, no, Chris, I just didn't know quite what to do with it. And he said, well, I have a friend, Harris, who was my college roommate, and he does cartooning on the side. I would love for him to take a stab at it. And So I said, well, let me think about it, because if I'm going to do something with it, part of me would like to just submit it to a publisher and see if I can have it published that way instead of doing it myself. And so I just left it at that. But then after thinking about it, I love the creative process. That's my favorite part. And I love working with someone on illustrations. Mm-hmm. And so So I called him independently of talking to my son, and we agreed to work on the project. And then at a later point, I shared that with my son, and he was happy about that, I think. But then it took us quite a long time to work back and forth to, mm-hmm. to actually, you know, illustrate a book. To have the writing how we want it, and then the rhyming, especially rhyming, as you know, is extremely difficult to do. And so it took a lot of work on my part, a lot of sending it for critiquing, and at some point we decided it was finished and ready to publish. So,
and you published this yourself as well?
I did.
Uh-huh.
I did.
You know, we're in a different era now where you don't really need to reach out to a traditional publisher. You can get work out a whole lot faster. And as you said, I think so many people really do enjoy that creative process of being in charge and deciding how you want it to be from beginning to end.
Yes. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think Harris did too. Harris Huber is the illustrator's name, and a wonderful man and very talented. And then there was another friend of my daughter-in-law's that she worked with in promotions a few years ago, who also lived in the same community, which was just a coincidence, as the illustrator Harris. And so he's a graphic designer by profession, and so he was willing to help lay out the book for me, because I didn't, you know, that's not my forte. It was just a really fun project that took a long time because of all of our other commitments.
Mm-hmm.
We just had to do it by email most, but finally it's finished. And I'm actually in Atlanta having book signings this week. So.
Oh, how exciting. How exciting. Well, it sounds like everything and the people came into place as the timing was correct. You know?
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, you said something at the very beginning, how you like to write as clean as possible, using as little words as possible. And I was thinking about writing children's books, you probably really have to even be more so. There's just not a lot of room for too many words where they've got to figure it out and think about it. It probably is even a bigger challenge to write tight for children.
It is. It is. And, you know, and every year I learn more. The more I write, the more critiquing I get, the more workshops I attend and share time with other writers, the more I learn. And I go back to Applesoft now and I think, you know, I think I could tighten this up here, and I think I probably could have left this out. And, you know, but you do the best, all writers do the best mm-hmm. they can at the time. At some point we have to be happy and satisfied.
Oh, it's like anything else. There is a learning
yeah.
curve, and you're growing, and so that's just to be expected. I think that's natural. You have to start somewhere. Now, you also write poetry. Tell us about that.
Well, I started writing poetry in high school. I took a writing class that focused mostly on poetry, and it just became a way for me to use words to say what I was observing in the world, in my life, what I was seeing, or just my opinion about something. But it was easier for me than just speaking it extemporaneously. It was easier for me, and I felt a connection with it. I grew up with a lot of music in the house, not only words, but my mother was a professional musician, a singer, and so I had a sort of a natural tendency toward lyricism and musicality in writing, mm-hmm. and it lends itself very well to certain types of poetry, for sure, and so I just started and really, really have never stopped. But after my kids were grown, I started to take it more seriously. I would say I'm 67, so in my early 50s, I started taking classes and attending the writing festival in Iowa City. And if you know of that, I think most people have heard of the writing festival, and certainly the writer's workshop.
Right.
And because people who graduate from the writer's workshop come back and teach the classes in the summer for the writing festival, and it's just so much fun. And mm-hmm. I have, of course, files and files and discs and discs and volumes of poetry. I have not published a volume yet. I've had some specific poems published, but I keep working on one, but I get pulled into a children's book, for example, and it takes me away from working on a volume of poetry. So,
well, I've often thought, I believe that poetry is just very, very personal. And I'm not sure that people, maybe they do, but for me, I'm not sure that I could actually write poetry to say, oh, I'm going to write this so it gets published. To me, it's just something that you feel that you have to express. And then if it's good enough, obviously you could publish it. But to say, oh, I'm going to write a mystery novel, you can kind of set out to do that. But to say I'm going to set out to write poetry, for me personally, right, I don't know that I could do that.
Yes, because it's cathartic.
Yes.
It is personal, mm-hmm. and it is. It's cathartic, and that you're very right about that. And but there's also a universality to poetry, or there can be, and those are the kinds of things that I like to share with other people, are things that I think might touch them. They touch me, of course, but I can't be objective. Mm-hmm. But I'll share something with someone, you know, and I'll see that it touches them. And then I realize it has a bigger message than just for me.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And so I have those two. I have both. And then I have children. I mean, I write, again, I was telling someone yesterday that I don't consider myself a children's author. I consider myself a poet. But I'm having to, I'm reevaluating that, because I do think I have a tendency to be able to write for children. And because I do have, again, a file of things that I just come home and just write, you know, like I had one thing, my grandson just would struggle to sit at the table to eat, so I thought if he had a spork to eat with, do you know what a spork is?
I do, yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. So I wrote a two-page rhyme about what to do with a spork, and it was just a fun little thing, but that kind of thing I love to do, see? And so I think I just need to focus maybe more on that sometimes than all of the other things that I've, you know, written poetry-wise.
Right.
Rhyming is tough, but it's also fun.
Well, if you're thinking that, then that's obviously the direction you need to head into, I think.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, also, just to round you out, on your website, you have some beautiful photographs, so you obviously have an eye for beauty visually.
I do, maybe, I guess. I don't know. I love to do it. I love nature. And most of my photos, as you notice, there aren't of people. They're of something in nature. I take long walks with my camera wherever I am. And I started doing that too, but I just thought that I would share some of them on my website because it speaks about who I am. You know, I'm not doing anything with them necessarily. I do donate some of them to local nature, like this, we have a local Sierra Club group that I've donated some pictures to, and also to an alcoholism treatment center that's in our community.
Okay.
So I'll donate them if people are interested, but it's just, a hobby,
yep.
You know.
Well,
it's a creative hobby.
I think your website really speaks to who you are. After you land on your site and look around, you get a feeling for who you are. So you did a great job with that.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Well, now tell us about the book writing process. So I know you get inspired when you're with your grandchildren. Does it just flow from you, or do you have to think, all right, I'm going to sit down today and write a little bit more? How do you format that?
Well, that's a good question. And of course, it's different for different kinds of writing for me. I think I get started by just feeling and having an inspirational moment. And I sit down, it just comes out. Just comes out in some form, okay? But then, if I want to do more with it, then I start that process of working on it, changing some words, changing sentences around, pulling things out, putting things back in, rearranging. Then I walk away for 2 or 3 hours, maybe 2 or 3 days. Then I go back, look at it again, do the same thing. And I think that's what most writers do. Mm-hmm. I have worked on started short stories, but not really finished one. But I'm guessing the process is pretty much the same. And that's the process really that I enjoy the most. Because what's so fun is having something that you're not comfortable with and manipulating it, turning it around, adding words, taking away words, leaving it and coming back and going, oh, wow, it's not perfect, but it's really better.
Mm-hmm.
That was really fun. Then I'm gonna try this again. You know, that I'm just being honest with you. That's what I love the most. It just feels like I'm sculpting something, you know.
I do get that. So when you're done writing, do you feel energized or do you feel exhausted?
No, I don't feel exhausted.
Okay.
I feel energized.
Yeah.
I feel energized, and but I feel all consumed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have to pull away for a while because life demands it.
Sure.
The rest of my life demands it. I'm grateful for it, to be honest with you. I'm grateful for my ability to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like millions of other people in the world, but I love it. And I think I will do it as long as I possibly can.
For sure. And I always feel sad when folks have a full-time job and they have children and they have all of these obligations, yet they've got that creative desire and that passion going on inside, and they've got to get up then at 4 o'clock in the morning to find that little niche of time that they can write.
Right.
So, you know, for you to have that freedom to say, yes, I can do this whenever it strikes me, that's so beautiful and wonderful.
I think when you get to be my age, we've earned that.
Sure.
You're right.
Yes.
So you're right that it's hard. It's hard in the child-raising years.
Yes.
It's very difficult.
No, no. I sense that when I speak with other writers. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're out of that time period, and now you can be free to be creative whenever you like. So as you're writing, what are you learning about yourself?
I'm learning that I have a skill that I'm pretty good at, that I can use words. I think there's always been a tremendous amount of self-doubt, and I'm sure I'm not alone with that. And I remember the first time I shared something that I had written, it was probably about 20 years ago, my stomach was, and it was with a small group of women who were close friends, and my stomach was in knots. My hands were shaking. It was so hard for me to be vulnerable like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even something super personal about me, but it was just, you know, I liked it. I wanted to share it. It was actually a poem I had written for my mother about a trip that we took on the Oregon Trail. And so I'm not there today. Today I will go to an open mic wherever I can find one. And so, see, I've grown.
Yes.
I've grown in confidence. And I guess I've grown in the fact that I don't need affirmation all the time, which I really did at first because I just had never had it. I didn't know I could do it. And I had some loving friends and family, I think, who encouraged me. And then I had some very kind and knowledgeable teachers who encouraged me. And so I just took all of that and just kept going because it's a passion of mine.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think everyone can relate to that, that first time you step out on stage or have to perform on the piano or, as you say, read some of your manuscript. You know, are they going to judge me? I think by and large, the audience probably looks at you and thinks, wow, I'm impressed that she's able to do that.
We're all our own worst critics.
Yes.
And so, you know, when we're so hard on ourselves, it does make it hard to put ourselves out there, too. And I shouldn't assume that everyone is like that, but I certainly was for a long time. So,
yeah.
So I'm glad that I'm feel more comfortable and am able to share.
Yep.
You know, I don't necessarily seek out the time to share. Like I think this is wonderful that you're interviewing me. I'm really honored. Remember that we met, I think, and at the Gulf Coast Writers meeting, didn't we?
I believe so. That was a while back, wasn't it?
Yeah, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And it surprised me that I heard from you, but I was delighted. I was delighted because my book had just come out, and I thought, oh, wow, this would be a wonderful way to get it out there, you know, to share it anyway with people.
Absolutely. It is a good way to get out there. Anytime you can get the message out, not only just to sell books, but I think it's inspiring to other authors and would-be authors and current authors and people who are struggling, you know, with their craft, just to hear other people and realize that everyone is fairly similar and have many of the same feelings and emotions. So I think it's... So thank you
and
for agreeing to do it.
I appreciate it very much.
I appreciate that you agreed to do it as well. Well, so what's next? Are you working on another children's book project right now?
I have a couple of directions that I'm thinking of going. One is a sequel to Boo Boo, because several people have asked me if they would do that. There's a character in Boo Boo. It's actually a giraffe that's sort of his confidant. So there's a picture. You can't see it, but his parents are trying to get him to eat his green spiders. The two-page layout, I have the book open here, and his dad is holding up the three and sort of chasing after him, and Boo Boo is this little tiny elephant tree, okay? They're very small, okay? And this enormous giraffe bends down. It's his friend, and Boo-Boo says, three bites of spider, Boo-Boo lamented. I need you to know I feel tormented. And he's telling this to the giraffe, okay? So it's just the giraffe is just hysterically cute. Really, he's just, I love him. His eyes are kind of crossed. He's, you know, so, and he's just around. He doesn't have a conversation in the book. Mm-hmm. He's just, it's clear that he's connected to Boo-Boo. And Boo-Boo and his two little brothers crawl up and down the giraffe's neck and when they're playing. And so I may do one about the giraffe. Because it's such a cute, he's such a cute cartoon.
Well, there you go. Now you're going to need the same illustrator, though.
Well, I would. That's the thing, yeah. But then there's also, I also have a manuscript that's probably 50% to 75% finished about a little girl whose grandmother has Alzheimer's. My mom passed away from dementia, and I would like to honor her with that, and so that one I would really like to send in for publication somewhere when I finish it. So I think that's going to be my next project, and then we may take on another Boo-Boo. We'll see.
Oh, I love that idea. I don't want you to go any further into it, but I hope we can talk about that maybe in another interview when you finish that.
Oh, I would love it. Love it. And that's what I'm going to start working on here, probably after the holidays.
Yes.
We have quite a bit going on. I'm taking a trip with my daughter. But when I get back, that's my goal for the spring is to pull that out of the file and keep going on it, because I think it'll be nice.
Oh, the message there is huge, and I think you'll find a big audience for that as well.
Yeah, yep. I think so. I hope so.
Oh, so exciting to talk with you. You're a very fascinating woman, and I want to make sure that we didn't miss anything that you would like to bring up today.
You asked me that in the email, and honestly, I froze. I went blank. It was like, I don't know. You asked me about the books. I'm delighted to talk about them. I just appreciate it. Feel honored and glad that we had a chance to do this. And I look forward to seeing you again sometime.
Oh, my gosh, you're a sweetheart. Well, before we wrap up then, tell us where folks can go to learn more about you and where they can purchase your books.
Certainly can go to my website, thecottonwoodtree.com. That has contact information on there. They can order the book from any bookseller, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, through a local independent bookstore. If they want a signed copy, they'll have to contact me directly and I'll send them one. Boo-Boo has his own Facebook page and I'm working on that. So I think they can order the book through that too.
Okay. Thecottonwoodtree.com, that's easy to remember. And so I hope folks head over to thecottonwoodtree.com and visit the links all about Diana Howard and her books, Applesauce and Boo-Boo LaRue. And Diana, it was just such a pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you for sharing you, and I'm really looking forward to your future work.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it very much. It was fun.